Three chapters in the Bible. There, I would like to go through it verse by verse sometime, just study every aspect of it. But we're just going to read one verse this morning, the first verse, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Psalms chapter number 18. Give you just a moment to turn there, and we're going to read verse number 1. And then we'll pray. Psalms chapter 18, verse number 1. The Bible said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for letting us be here today, for all of the many blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the choir singing this morning. Lord, how we need the truth of that last song. Lord, where in the song they prayed and asked for a double portion of thy spirit. Lord, I need your help today. I confess that. I realize that. I pray, God, that you'd anoint me from on high. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for our sins. I pray you'd cleanse us. I pray you'd open our spiritual ears, our heart, that we might hear the message from the Word of God today. Lord, David said, I will love thee. Lord, I wonder how much we really love you in this day and time in which we live. God, your word says we love you because you first loved us. And I'm thankful for that great love that you've shown, demonstrated towards us that we might be saved by the grace of God. But Lord, as we come today, we think about our love towards thee. God, would you help us this morning? Speak to our hearts. We'll thank you for all that you do. We ask you to have your perfect way right now and that you would bind the devil that he'd not be able to hinder in any way whatsoever. Have your way. We'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, that's a short little verse and I want to read it again and I want you to just to notice this morning David's expression of his love. What he says here in verse number 1, he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Notice how definite that is. I will. He's made up his mind. He's purposed in his heart. I will love thee. He's talking about not just loving anything, but somebody. He's talking about loving the Lord. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And the Jewish people in the Old Testament, Israel, the nation of Israel, they placed a great emphasis, and we should as well, but they placed a great emphasis upon teaching the law of God unto their children. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, when you're sitting in your house, teach these things unto your children, memorize, meditate upon the Word of God. And there's certain passages which they held up and memorized and sort of set before all the others. One of them is Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5, and the Jewish people called it the Shema, and that comes from the Hebrew word which means hear. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 and 5, it says, hear, O Israel. That's where that comes from, the Shema. Listen, listen what the Word of God says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. They taught this scripture unto their children, this principle unto their children, that they should love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. I was thinking about this and studying for this message, no doubt, in my mind that David was taught this from a little child, that he should love the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his might. And of course he did. David loved the Lord. And he wrote about it here in Psalms 18, verse number 1, and other places as well. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You look over in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ was asked by a lawyer. The lawyer was trying to catch him, trip him up in his words. But this lawyer came to the Lord Jesus and he asked him, he said, which is the great commandment in the law? A lot of times they just debated back and forth about the law, which is the greatest commandment. So he came and he asked the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the great commandment in the law? The Lord Jesus responded to him. Matthew 22, verse number 37. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Now, if that's the greatest commandment, he's asking the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus said, this is what it is. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Then what that is teaching us this morning, if our love was as it should be, then everything else would fall into place. If we just simply love the Lord, you think about it this morning. This is a thinking message. I want you to think. I want it to get down into our hearts. But if we just love God like we should, everything else in our lives would be a whole lot easier. We would find that the questions that we have, the desires that we have, all these things would be in a proper alignment in our lives. It's interesting to me that the great commandment does not start with a negative. A lot of times we think about the commandments, or people think about the commandments, and they think about, well, that's so negative. Thou shalt not. And of course, there's a lot of thou shalt nots in the Bible. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, there's a lot of thou shalt nots. But the greatest commandment doesn't start, thou shalt not. It says, thou shalt. And it's a positive commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all of thy soul. Do you see how that would help us as far as these negatives? I mean, if you really love the Lord like you ought to, you wouldn't be thinking about killing and stealing and coveting and all these other things. So I can see that's a great commandment. Jesus said, just love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And so I want to try to preach today on the subject, when you really love. When you really love like you ought to. When you really love somebody. When we really love the Lord. And ask ourselves the question today, do you really love the Lord? I mean, it's easy for us to talk about loving the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Oh yeah, I love the Lord. But do you really love the Lord? Do I really love the Lord like I ought to? So that's a title I want to give today, when you really love. Now I want us to think about some of these things. Number one today, when you really love, you're consumed with that love. When you really love, you are consumed with that love. The great commandment again, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That's what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 22. And if you love like that, you will be consumed with loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Whatever it is, whoever it is, if you really love to the point that you're consumed with it, that means that that's all you can talk about. That's all you can think about when you're consumed with love. When I was growing up, my first love in my life was baseball. That's the first thing in my life I really ever loved. I'm talking about to the point that I was consumed with it. I loved it literally with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind. I loved baseball. I, like they say, ate, slept, dreamed about baseball. It was my life. It was what I lived for. It was what I desired to do more than anything else. My mom, many times I've heard her say, that boy's got ball on his brain. And I did. I mean, we'd go out to eat somewhere. I'd be in school and everybody else is walking along in line and I'm walking along and I'm catching balls. And I'm swinging an invisible bat. I mean, it just consumed me. It's all on my mind all the time. I loved baseball growing up, and for many, many years in my life, my parents told me the first word I ever said was ball. Said we was going driving down the road, and we passed a Phillips 76. You remember they used to have the big orange ball with the 76 on it? We passed the Phillips 76, and I said, ball. I've had ball on my mind ever since I can remember. And I loved it, and I lived for it, and I desired that more than anything else. I played every opportunity I got. I practiced all the time. When there's nobody to throw ball with, I'd go out and throw ball on the roof of the house and just catch that ball and throw it up in the air and catch it. I mean, all the time, went with a glove in my hand or a baseball or a bat or something like that. I would go to the library and check out books. And when I was growing up, I read all the books I could find in the library. I read about Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio and Lou Gehrig and Mickey Mantle and Thurman Munson, and I collected baseball cards. I had stacks that would be as high 5 feet tall. I'd stack them all up in just big piles of baseball cards, and every time I'd get a little money, I'd spend it on baseball. I just loved it. I was consumed with it. Thought about it all the time, practiced. Buy magazines. I had at one time, I think I had over 40 New York Yankee baseball caps. I had them all over my room. I wore one all the time. My room, my bedroom was decorated with everything baseball. My bedspread, my curtains. I had white paneling and navy carpet like the New York Yankees. I'm telling you, I was consumed. Consumed with all things baseball, my clothes that I wore, everything. Now, I got saved when I was 9 years old, and I thank the Lord for that. He changed my life. He gloriously saved me. He became my Lord and Savior, but still, for many years after that, I loved baseball. I still love baseball. I was consumed with baseball, and time went by, and I grew up a little bit, and I realized I was not going to be a major league baseball player. And by God's grace, He began to work on my heart and change my heart. And I could say, like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so the Lord helped me. I don't love baseball like I used to. I'm not consumed with it like I used to be. But I tell that illustration this morning to think to myself. I've asked myself the question, do I even love the Lord as much as a little kid loves a game? Are you consumed with loving the Lord? David said, I will love thee, O Lord. And the Bible said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might, over there in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And do we as adults and young people this morning love the Lord as much as a little kid can love a sport? And there's a lot of it out there. Do we even love God that much today? That much, surely. Like the Bible says, we love Him because He first loved us. Surely we ought to love the Lord more than a child can love a game. That's just nothing more than throwing a ball around and hitting a ball with a stick. That's all that it is. Surely as adults, surely as saved people today, we ought to love the Lord more than that. More than that. If we really love, we're going to be consumed by that love. It ought to be what we think about. It ought to be what we talk about. We ought to be consumed with it. It ought to be the driving passion in our life when we talk about the Lord. Not just part of our life, but He is our life. That's how He was with David. David, the Lord was his life. He lived for the Lord. He loved the Lord. He said, I will love thee, Lord, with or I will love thee, Lord, my strength, is what he said. When you really love, you're consumed by that love. Number two this morning, when you really love, it characterizes you. You will become associated and known with what you love. Now, we went to the youth challenge yesterday, and some of you know this. I went and preached a meeting in Oklahoma a few months ago. Has it been 6 weeks ago, something like that? And on Monday, me and the preacher, Brother Mark, we went to a Texas Rangers baseball game. Well, that was my idea. We had a day to spare, and that's what I wanted to do. Well, I bought a souvenir. I bought a Texas Rangers baseball hat. You wouldn't believe how many people have come up to me and said, "What are you doing wearing a Texas Rangers hat?" See, they know. Brother John said that to me yesterday. He knew that I'm like the Yankees. So evidently in my life, I'm characterized by loving not only baseball, but a certain team. Wouldn't it be good if people associated us with loving the Lord like people are associated, you like the Braves or you like the Cowboys or this or that. We become characterized by what we love. If we really love something like we ought to, we'll be associated with it. We'll be known for it. What is it that you are advertising with your life? Your actions. How you dress, what you talk about, where you go, all of these things. You'll be known for that. I love over in Acts chapter 4, it's talking about the disciples over there in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. And their enemies, it said, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. People ought to know that we've been with the Lord. They ought to know that we love the Lord. I mean, not just talk about Him, not just go to church, but that we truly, really, from the bottom of our hearts, that we love the Lord. People ought to know that. They ought to see that. We ought to advertise that with our lives. David said, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength." Do you think David loved the Lord? Read the book of Psalms. He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." I love the Lord. He loved to be around the things of God and the songs and the worship of the Lord and serve the Lord. And the Lord was his king and he was his servant. And he just said, "I love the Lord." And he wrote songs about him all the time. He loved the Lord. You think about David, you can't think about him without thinking about him being the sweet psalmist of Israel. I know he messed up, and you and I have messed up too, but he still loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. I've messed up, but I love the Lord. Recently, in the past few years, I was thinking about here at Mount Lebanon. This came up over and over again. We've had four funerals this summer. And over again, it was said about every one of these dear saints of God, they love the Lord. I thought a lot about that. People that love the Lord, boy, they're a great asset to the church. We need people that really love the Lord, that you can look at our lives and the way we conduct our lives, and it could be said about us, not just they were a church member, not just that's where they went to church, but they love the Lord. We are to love the Lord. And if we don't really love the Lord, now think about it. Are we really much good to the Lord? If we're just doing things out of routine, if we're just going through the motions, if we're just serving out of, why? Because you feel guilty if you don't. Well, we ought to do what we do because we love the Lord. Why are you even here this morning? I hope it's because you love the Lord. I mean, really love the Lord. When you love the Lord, it characterizes you. You will become associated with what or who you love. You know, to some people, I'm just Kim's husband. I'm just associated with her. And to some people, she is Wynn's wife. See, we're associated. People associate us one with another. We've been together so long and seen together and lived our lives together, and so we're associated with one another. That's how it ought to be with us and the Lord. He loves the Lord. She loves the Lord. If you really love, it'll characterize you. When you really love, let me say this, number three, it changes you. Kim and I have been married 26 years. It'll be 27 years in December. I asked her this morning, made sure. There's a lot of pressure in preaching. You get up here and just try to remember something like that and you'll mess it up every time. So I'm going to make sure, but I knew that really. We've been married 26 years. You know, since I met her, I'm not the same person that I was. Love, when you really love someone, when you really love something, it'll change you. And in my life as a young man, it went from being all about me to being all about her. All of my decisions, all of my plans, all of my actions were changed when I met her and fell in love with her. Boy, it changed everything about me. Changed me for the rest of my life. And when you really love someone, it will change you. It was no longer what do I want to do? What does Wynn want to do? It became about her. It became about us. What are we going to do? Real love will change you. It'll change everything about you. And it's the same thing with the Lord. If we really love the Lord with all of our heart, and with all of our mind and all of our soul and all of our might, if we really love the Lord like that, it won't be any longer in your life, what do I want? I want to do this, I want to do that. You'll come to the place in your life where you ought to think about it like this. What does the Lord want? What does God want me to do? What would the Lord Jesus Christ be happy with in my life? Am I just out here going around doing what I always want to do? No, sir. It ought to be, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because He loves you and you love Him. You ought to love Him that much. To know that He knows what is best in your life. He knows the future. You don't know the future. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how do you want me to live? Every decision in our lives, ought to come to our mind. What does God think about this? You know, if people thought that, there'd be a lot of things that they'd never do. If they'd just try to let their decision pass the test, would God be pleased with this? That'd help you make a better decision in your life. If I do this, does it show or demonstrate or exhibit that I truly love the Lord? What be pleasing unto Him? If there's something unpleasing to the Lord in my life, I ought to desire to change that thing. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If we really love the Lord, it'll change you. Number four, when you really love the Lord, you'll communicate. David said to the Lord, he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He's communicating with the Lord. He's talking with the Lord. He's having fellowship there with the Lord. When you really love somebody or something, you'll communicate. You know, that's a lot of people's problem in their home life, in their marriage. They don't communicate. When Kim and I met one another, I was 17, she was 19. We began to go out, date, and from the first day we ever went out together, we never missed a day till I went to basic training. We saw each other every day. I woke up in the morning, the first thing I wanted to do, I wanted to talk to her. Late at night, when we had been together, maybe in the evening already, we want to talk on the phone. When I left and went to basic training, I called her every opportunity. I wrote letters. I bet I have not written a letter in 5 years. I'm not a letter writer. But during that time we were away, and that's all the communication that we had. I wrote letters to her. She wrote letters to me. We desired to communicate. And communication is more than just reading your Bible and praying in the morning. Now that's very, very important. I'm not belittling that. That is absolutely necessary. I'm not fit to talk to until I've communicated with the Lord in reading my Bible and praying every morning. It's not a drudge thing to me to do that. I enjoy that. I like that. I love that. I'm almost done with reading my Bible through this year. I can't wait to get done because I'm going to start over. I've done that for years and years and years. I love to read the Word of God. I get something out of it every time I read. But it's more than just, well, I read my Bible this morning, I prayed this morning, and forget about God the rest of the day. What if I woke up in the morning and said good morning to Kim and went out the door and didn't talk to her the rest of the day? Wouldn't that be odd? Communion with the Lord. If we really love the Lord, we're going to desire to commune with Him throughout the day. And we're going to think about the Word of God. You say, I work, I do this, I know, and I've done all that too. And I tell you, you can commune with the Lord on the job, as you're traveling, as you're driving, as you're going about your business. You don't have to put God on the back burner during all that. You can pray. You can think about the Lord. It ought to just be natural as you're going through the grocery store. You have thoughts about God if you really love the Lord. You ought to think about Him. You ought to want to commune with Him throughout the day. I believe this, and I live my life this way. I believe the Lord is present with us at all times. I don't believe there's a little window that you roll down when you want to communicate with God. But that's how some people, okay, we're going to pray. Let's get real serious. Stop joking. Stop talking about God heard what you're talking about 2 minutes ago. He's always there. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 15, it says the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. God sees what's going on. He knows. He's not a stranger unto us. Proverbs 15 and verse 29 says that He heareth the prayer of the righteous. He's always available. He's always there. Abigail and I were going to town the other day, and we got in the vehicle. And we were backing out. And as we were backing out, I said, Lord, keep us safe and watch over us. And I'm backing up as I'm saying this. I said, Lord, keep us safe, watch over us. Help us have a good day or something like that. And I looked at her and I said, do you remember to bring something? I forget what it was. She looked at me. She said, are we praying? What are we doing? I said, well, I was praying, but I got done. And now I'm asking you something, but... I said, well, I can't hardly close my eyes and back up the truck. And the Lord's always there. And sometimes throughout the day, many times throughout the day, and I was eating breakfast this morning and Kim walked by and she said, is you talking to me? I said, no, I was just praying. I was asking the Lord to be with us today and help us today. When you really love somebody, you're going to communicate with them. You're going to talk with them. You're going to desire to hear from them. You'll communicate. Real love, when you really love, you desire that. You want that. Number five, when you really love, you're committed. Real love causes you to be committed. If you really love the Lord like you ought to, you'll be committed unto Him. In all these years that Kim and I have been married, she has never had to call me and remind me to come home. She has never had to call me and ask me if I was coming home. Because I'm committed. And she's committed to me, and we're committed one to another. But I'll tell you, we live in a day and a time where people say, oh, I love the Lord, but you talk about opening up church doors. Where are they at? Wednesday night, Sunday night. Wednesday night, we'll have half. What's here this morning? I realize we got visitors and things. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I hear about this all the time. Our young people are growing up. They're leaving the church. They're not coming back. What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. We're raising a generation, or there is a generation that just simply, they don't love the Lord. They don't love the Lord like the old time saints love the Lord. You can be saved and not really love the Lord like you ought to. But I'm going to be honest with you, from my heart to your heart this morning, if you're saved, if you're really saved, and you don't love the Lord, you are in for a miserable existence. And that's all you'll ever have. Because every decision of your life is going to be conflicted with what you want versus what God wants, and you'll never be happy as a child of God until you get to the place where you realize that you ought to love the Lord, to trust Him enough, to follow Him, to do what He wants in your life. You'll never be happy. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 2 and 15 through 17, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all things in the world are not of the Father, but are of the world. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It's not of God. It's of the world. And God's Word says, don't love the world. You cannot love, Matthew chapter 6, you cannot love God and mammon. That's money. You just can't do it. You're going to love one or the other, but you cannot love both those things simultaneously. You say, what happens? What's happening? We're having a generation that just doesn't love the Lord. Being religious is not loving the Lord. Just because your grandma loved God doesn't mean that you'll love God. Just because your parents loved the Lord doesn't mean that you're automatically going to love the Lord. David made up his mind. He said, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. I'm going to love the Lord. If you really love, you're going to be committed to the Lord. Number six, and I'll close with this. If you really love, or when you really love, you'll be careful not to hurt the one you love. David said, I will love thee. Do you know the most sensitive person in church this morning? It is not one of us, but it's the Holy Ghost of God present, God in our presence. And it is so easy to grieve the Holy Ghost of God. Would you come manifest and make your presence known about among a bunch of people that all they was concerned about was getting out of here in 5 or 10 minutes? Is he going to be done? I've got somewhere else to go and something else to do, and that's all that's on my mind. And I've got this week is a busy week and all that. We need to be oh so careful in our relationship with the Lord. I love my wife, and I don't want to hurt her. And I try not to say things and do things that will hurt her feelings. Why are you like that? Because I love her. And if you've got any sense about you, you'll be careful in your family as well. You don't want to say hurtful things, do hurtful things. That ought to be the closest thing to heaven on earth is the family unit. We want to be careful not to hurt one another. Kim asked me the other day, we was talking, and we enjoy spending time together, and we'll go on walks together and just spend some time and talk with one another. And we was talking the other day, and she said, do you really love me, or you just know you're stuck with me? Now, boy, I'm telling you, you better be careful how you answer things. She's setting me up. That's one of them things. You better be careful what you say. I said, I love that I'm stuck with you. You better just make the best of it. But I said, that works both ways. You're stuck with me. Well, that's rough. I don't want to hurt her. I want to be careful, and it ought to be the same way with our relationship with the Lord. We ought to be careful that we don't hurt the Lord in what we do and say and places we go. And is the Lord going to say to us, I thought you loved me. Why are you here? Why did you do this? Why is the things of God no more important to you than it is? If we really love the Lord. See, honestly, this morning, I know that's a real simple message, and you say, I didn't get much out of that. This wasn't a get much out of that message. It's just one thought, one thing I'm asking us this morning. Honestly, if we examine our lives, do I really, really love the Lord like I ought to love the Lord? I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I'm